This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens. It's 3 p.m. and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Friday.
Woo!
Pretty Friday.
Woo!
February 12th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, well, that's certainly your responsibility. Peter, 10 years ago today, Don announced himself as one of the oddest people of all time.
Go ahead.
10 years ago on this day, Don screamed out for the world to see, I'm different, and I don't care what you think, and I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to go against everything that everybody thinks is normal, and I'm going to do my thing, and I'm going to do it when I want, if I want, how I want. 10 years ago today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so Don's at the Garden right now, which is on 33rd Street. So this happened 24 blocks from where he is.
All right.
At the Plaza Hotel. It was the night that Jody and I got married. It was a magical night, Peter. There was magic in the air.
Was there?
There were 305 people.
Wow. According to the Post, Bernie Williams was there playing guitar.
At the wedding, people, you know, happy to be there, seeing something. You know, it's like they're seeing Haley's Comet. They're seeing me getting married. Never thought it would happen. I never thought it would happen. There's just a spark in the air. And, Peter, I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
The band was just amazing.
Wow.
The band was so good that everybody got up and danced. Somebody that was confined to a wheelchair.
Is that
found
true?
Found the strength to get up and dance.
Oh, my God. That's not true. He danced, not didn't get up.
Of all the people in the Plaza Hotel that day, at that wedding, the only two people that refused to get up from their chair was Don and Nancy LaGreca.
I don't know why this is a big deal.
And when you
so
asked him why, he said, I don't want to.
Yeah. I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
I didn't feel like dancing. Nancy didn't feel like dancing. I think the shoes were bothering her, and she didn't feel like dancing. Peter, I don't know why this is a big deal.
I mean, it's
a deal.
It's something.
I socialized. I mean, I had a good time. Well, the only way you can have a good time is dance. If that's the case, then I don't want to ever have to do that. Dancing is going to be the difference between a good time and a bad time. I'd rather not go.
And in Don's defense, Michael, I'm sure at any given moment, he wasn't the only person not dancing.
There was a point where everybody was I'm telling you, the band was so good, people that didn't like to dance got up and danced. They were just moved.
I find that difficult to believe.
Ask people that were there.
They don't feel like dancing. It's not a comment on the band or the kind of songs they were playing.
I think it was a comment like on the night. I think you didn't have a good time. I think it was a comment
I had a good
on
the
time. Night, the marriage.
Why do I have to have a good time the way everybody else has a good time? See, that's what bothers me about dancing, okay? Dancing is a way to express yourself. And yet it's been sabotaged by the electric slide and all these convoluted dances that aren't expressing yourself. It's fitting in like sheep and being like everybody else,
which is the exact polar opposite
of what dancing's supposed
to
be.
It's a good point. There was no electric slide at this wedding.
Listen.
It's the overall
concept of wedding dancing. Do you and Nancy ever
dance? It's convoluted.
Do you guys ever dance?
Sometimes. If we feel like it, we dance. And if we don't feel like it, we don't.
Now, you want to know the craziest
part of it all,
Michael?
It's probably about a 50-50 proposition.
Michael, you know the craziest part of it?
I know the craziest part, but illuminate me on more.
Is that if you were to reverse their names, they would actually be named Non and Dancy. Non-Dancy.
But I don't know why Michael thinks it's some sort of comment on the time that we had. The food was fabulous. There were a lot of great people there. There were people there that we thought were great that turned out not to be.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was really just a whole different kind of feel that we had a great time. There were so many stories we can't even tell on the air of things that happened that made it great. I mean, several things. Comments that were made that people weren't allowed to take back and probably wouldn't have even asked. That's what was great about this whole thing. And I was and I observed it all, and I was cool with it. I didn't feel it. Why do I have to do something I don't want to do, Peter?
The point is, it's called social convention. That's all.
That's not Don. That's not me. That is not me. That is the perfect description of what I'm not.
That's right.
I am not. I do not conform to these types of things.
You've been on the show for five. I don't think you've ever come up with something more brilliant than non-dancy. Never.
Well, I think Peter's on my side with this.
I don't always dance at weddings, okay? And
do you get up for one dance, Peter? One?
Yes.
Like the slow dance, the wedding dance. Everybody, all right, now the bride and groom, everybody joined them on the dance floor. Don sat there, his thumb right
yes.
up his butt.
No, I definitely go out there for one of the first dances, you know, especially, you know, I was married. You got to go out, you take your wife to a wedding, you got to go dance. You have
Don
a date,
and Dan, non and dancy.
Non-dancy.
Now, if you asked your wife, would you like to dance, and she said no, would you go dance with somebody else? Or say,
yes.
Okay, I'll just sit here.
Yeah.
Well, I there were definitely times when I didn't want to dance, and Alexa would dance. That, of course, I'm not always going to dance. So
but
sometimes
if she didn't
want to
dance and you didn't want to dance, you wouldn't dance, right? You wouldn't feel some sort
well,
of
yeah,
pressure.
Because I'm
like,
not a dancer.
I have to dance.
No, probably not because I'm not a dancer. But if you're with a woman and the woman wants to party and you don't really feel like it, I certainly expect she's going to go party anyway.
Now, right. let's say that Michael and Jody were sitting there.
Okay.
And Jody said, I don't want to dance. I'd lean over, softly say in her ear, let's just get up for one dance so we're not those two. But
see,
Don doesn't
but
do stuff like
what?
That.
No, he doesn't.
I don't do that. I don't care what people think. See, you care what people think. I don't care. You're the only person at the wedding that cared.
Because I kept track of everything, including gifts. Lamon 87.
That should bother you more.
Coming up with non-dancing on the fly like that may be one of the greatest and perfect things I've ever heard. This was Anthony saying that on Twitter. It was amazing. All right, so let's get it to more important things. J.J. Watt, no longer a Texan. Now, there's a lot of there's a lot of speculation where he could end up. He could end up with his brothers in Pittsburgh. He is from Wisconsin. He could end up with the Packers. He says he's going to stay in Texas for the rest of his life. So I don't know if, you know, because he played, he was born in Wisconsin, that he would go play with the Packers. I don't know if he will go play with his brothers in Pittsburgh. No, somebody's going to pick him up. He's not the player that he once was. He's been injured a lot, but last year he played in all 16 games. Had 5 sacks. This is a guy who's one of only 3 people in the history of the NFL that have won 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards. One of them is Don LaGreca's favorite, Lawrence Taylor. The other one is Aaron Donald, who will probably get a 4th somewhere down the line. And then there's J.J. Watt. But it's just such a bad look for the Texans. This is a good monetary move for them. And the way it has been fashioned is that he asked them, can you let me go? And they let him go. Well, listen, they let him go because they wanted to let him go. I mean, Nick Caserio is trying to build his own program there. This is going to be a downtime for the Texans, and this saves them a lot of money without any dead cap. Nothing. This saves them a lot of money on the cap. Now you got Deshaun Watson sitting there and waiting and going, oh, what about me? What about me? It doesn't look like he is going to be moved at this point. But Jeremy Fowler was on Get Up today, and here was the latest that he had on Deshaun Watson.
I checked in with a source who said Deshaun Watson has a list of teams that he's intrigued by. You know, he's not pigeonholing anything, but he's got a list. I didn't get all the teams, but I was told the Denver Broncos, San Francisco 49ers are 2 of them. I also asked the source about the Jets and the Dolphins because they have the most draft capital this year and the next few years. I was told the Jets, probably not, maybe more so the Dolphins as far as viability. But Watson knows, look, he has to wait this out. He's got the no trade clause in his contract, but it's all about the Texans continuing to tell teams, and they believe them, that they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. I've talked to several execs who say they think GM Nick Caserio is dug in here.
All right, let me direct this to Donnie Terrio, okay? Because that went over the head of a lot of our younger listeners. But, Don, What's the deal with the Jets? What's his problem with the? Why does Schefter tell Greeny, don't get your hopes up? This guy goes, Jets, eh. I thought Robert Saleh is the guy that he wanted as the coach of the Houston Texans. Well, Saleh's the coach of the Jets. What is the deal? What is his problem with the Jets? And you can't say it's about the tax situation in New York or New Jersey. You want to go to San Francisco, you want taxes. Those are taxes out there. So he's not concerned about taxes when it comes to the 49ers.
You're asking me to get into somebody's head, Michael. Early on, there seemed to be this feeling he would not go to the Jets. So you started to think, is it something political? Is it something with Woody Johnson? But I don't think that's the case anymore. I think it's just they're not a priority of the teams. This is a guy that can go to Denver. There's a guy that can go to San Francisco that's only a couple of years removed from going to a Super Bowl with a really good offensive mind as their head coach, right? Possibly going to Miami. That was a team that I think instantly becomes a playoff team once he goes there. Almost made the playoffs this year. I think it's just that in the pecking order of teams he can go to, the Jets are probably sixth or seventh on the list.
But here's what I don't understand.
And you can kind of understand why.
I can understand San Francisco because of the genius of Shanahan. Everybody admits the guy. Vic Fangio? He wants to go play for Vic Fangio? Not exactly an offensive guru. He's a defensive coach. So what's the attraction in Denver that he might run into John Elway in the hallway?
I don't know. Is there a John Elway influence? I like that there's a quarterback in that organization. I can't get inside his head, Michael. But maybe it's just a case of, hey, I don't want to play in New York. Maybe it's I don't want to play for a team that's never won. I mean, Denver's not that far removed from winning a Super Bowl and playing in Super Bowls. Now, it does feel like a million years ago because Peyton Manning's no longer their quarterback. But it is a team that has had success recently. San Francisco's had success recently. You know, is it just the fact that the Jets haven't won in 50 years? They haven't gone to the playoffs in a decade? Mm. You know, is it that? You know, is it, hey, I think Saleh's a great guy, but, you know, I would rather go someplace that's a little bit more offensive-minded. I don't want to go to a team that's coming off a 2-14 season. You know, I don't know. But could you understand of all the different places he can go that the Jets wouldn't be in the top three?
I can understand San Francisco being in the top. But what Denver's not a – just because they've won champions, Denver's been bad the last couple of years. So what's the deal? Why Denver?
Well, Denver's been – again, they have been good, but one of the reasons they haven't been good is because they haven't had a quarterback.
Well, you could say the same thing about the Jets.
But the Jets are never good.
I think that's the
point,
Peter.
The Jets were in two AFC championship games, 10 years ago?
A decade ago. When you're 25 years old, do you really want to go to a place where the last time the team was relevant, you were 15? We're making this up. We have no idea.
But how do you then justify he wanted Robert Saleh as the head coach of the Houston Texans? Robert Saleh is the head coach of the Jets. Now, I think there might be another thing, too. I wonder if, Peter, you agree with this. Maybe the Jets don't want him. Maybe the Jets don't want to get involved with it.
Yeah.
Maybe the Jets just don't want to give up all of that draft capital, which they've built up, and they have a lot of holes on their team. And maybe they look into – we'll just throw it out there. Zach Wilson. Hey, Zach Wilson could be really, really good. Let's do that. Keep the other first-round draft pick and really build with the salary space that we have. Maybe that's it, and Watson knows that. And it's like the girl that doesn't want to date you, you don't want to date her.
That could be it, too. It could just be – I'm sure his agent probably put out feelers, and he heard that the Jets weren't really that interested. And so he's like, well, I'm not going to be hot to go there if they're not like 100% all in. So it could be just a combination
Why would they not be looking for it? Why not? Why would they not be interested?
Because they'd have to give up three first-round draft picks. They'd have to give up who's the defensive player that's been floated? No, Quinnen Williams. Give him up. And that's one guy that Saleh brought up on the air with us when we interviewed him the day he was hired. Loves him. That's a lot to give up. And all of a sudden, you're three first-round. You do have a great quarterback. You're three first-round draft picks in the hole now, and you've given up your best defensive player. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
That seems to be the direction of the conversation is, why would you not be? It's a great question by Peter, and it's a good answer by you, right? You are giving up your future. Right, you're giving up a lot of draft capital in order to make this happen.
But no, I would do it. I'm just trying to understand why they wouldn't.
You are an organization that has not had a quarterback at this level in 50 years. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it. No offense to Joe Namath, you've never had a quarterback like this, and he's going to be 26. I don't know. You know, no idea what Fields is going to be. You have no idea what Wilson's going to be. You have a pretty good idea what Sam is right now. Quinnen Williams is a great defensive player, and those picks are important. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to check the box at quarterback, which is what every organization is trying to do every single year. And, Peter, you get to check it in big, bold, red ink. We've got a 26-year-old MVP-caliber quarterback. All right, what do we got to do now? What's next? I don't know how you pass that up. I just don't.
Now, I just got to give you this one, since we're talking about quarterbacks. So everybody knows the impeachment trials are going on right now.
What?
And one of former President Trump's attorneys, Bruce Castor, is talking right now. This happened like a couple of minutes ago.
I heard he did a very good job the other day.
Well, he's doing a great job today because he referenced the Georgia Secretary of State, Ben Roethlisberger.
That's not his name.
No.
That is not. I know that guy. And I've heard that guy.
It's not him.
But that's not him.
I think, what is it, Brad Raffensperger?
Yes, I think it's Brad Raffensperger. That sounds right.
Yeah, Ben doesn't seem like it fits. Jeremy Fowler went on a little bit more about the Watson situation on Get Up. Let's listen to Jeremy.
It's a big deal because there is tension. You know, I'm told that Russell Wilson was frustrated because he had said some things privately to the team, and maybe he felt like he wasn't being heard, so he went public. And meanwhile, the Seahawks are not overly happy that he did so, that, you know, they would prefer that he would have kept things under wraps. Now, it's not a big deal because I'm told from a source they believe this is fixable. The coach, Pete Carroll, loves Russell Wilson, and he is hearing him right now about his offensive line issues. The truth is the Seahawks have not drafted well at offensive line over the last 10 years, and they have to get some things fixed. So they are on the same page there. Russell Wilson has not requested a trade. I don't expect him to do so unless things go really south. The Seahawks are telling teams a hard no that they're not moving him. So they have to mend some things for sure, and they're going to get to work on that. It's a fluid situation from that regard, but there's nothing imminent about him being moved by any stretch.
So obviously that was my bad. That was the Russell Wilson situation. So what's outstanding now in terms of quarterbacks? Wentz. What's the deal with Wentz? Darnold. Even if the Jets draft a quarterback with two, Darnold's done. Where does he go?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's Deshaun Watson, which is the big elephant in the room, because I think everything has to play off of that. And if the Texans hold firm and say, we're not trading him, then the value of Darnold and the value of Wentz, I think, go up, because the teams that really need quarterbacks are going to look at those two guys and go, well, maybe. The whole thing is amazing. And you're going to be amazed over the next couple of days and weeks, the amount of big-name people that are going to be released just for cap space. I said this earlier in the week. There's going to be an unbelievable rocking and rolling offseason for the NFL. That's all people are going to be talking about. Baseball's going to have to really, really force its way into the conversation, because football is going to have big – J.J. Watt was released. He's a Hall of Famer. I think you're going to see more of this. It's going to be a wild offseason. And remember, everybody, the number for the salary cap is going to go way low. Every year since they've had this agreement, the salary cap has gone up $10 million a year. So it was at 210 this year. They expect it to be at 180. So teams are going to be desperate to clear space.
Who do you think is the bigger influence on all this? Do you think, or is it just a perfect storm? Is it the LeBron James sort of NBA model that started and now is, you know, Durant and Kyrie? Is it Tom Brady being like, when you get to a certain level, you can just go to a team and basically be the GM and build the team in your likeness?
I think it's the NBA model. I think they see how James Harden got his way out of Houston. I think that's it, where players are going to want to play where they want to play.
I don't see evidence of it. But the last two times, like, Rodgers said something bold, Wilson said something bold, and they immediately backtracked. Right? I mean, so Wilson's not going anywhere. Rodgers isn't going anywhere. The only one that may go someplace is Watson, and I think that's an outlier. Right? I mean, these are two. If Aaron Rodgers is really unhappy in Green Bay, if Wilson's really unhappy in Seattle, don't you think they could totally pull a Harden? Don't you think they have the power to do that?
What Peter's saying, though, is that if Rodgers wants out, he can get out. I mean, the template's been set. And if Wilson wants out, he can get out. Despite them both being signed, despite them both being icons, if Steve Young told us they want to burn it to the ground, they're out. They can be, they'll be out.
But they didn't, right? I mean, both of them spoke from the heart, right? I think, and almost immediately regretted it, right? Rodgers went on the defense like the very next day, and now you're hearing that, like, you know, Wilson's already, you know, talked to Seattle and he's not going to go anywhere. So there was an opportunity to follow up their instinct of that first, I'm not really sure what I want to do, I'm not really necessarily happy, and then instantly everything is okay. So those are guys that could have burned it to the ground and didn't.
But they could.
So maybe they didn't. Why didn't they?
Maybe the team satisfied them.
Right, that doesn't mean it didn't work.
Yeah, Fowler just said that, you know, Pete Carroll heard what he said, and he knows that to fix the offensive line. I don't think they like the fact that Wilson went out and said it publicly, but they heard him. And I think that the Packers front office heard Rodgers. But if they wanted to be Watson, they would be Watson. It's out there. It can be done. Matthew Stafford did it.
Well,
Carson Wentz is doing it. Carson Wentz is doing it.
Well, Wentz isn't in that category.
Carson Wentz was great at one time.
Well,
great.
4 years ago, and okay, now is but on the outs.
But still, people see that there's greatness there. This guy should have been the MVP.
I don't know if they see that anymore. He's going to really have to try to, first of all, stay healthy, which he has not been able to do. You know that. So,
but he has power. But he has power, Don, because his salary is gigantic.
No, there's power, but there's also, like, Philadelphia is in a situation where they'd like to keep him because of the cap hit that it's going to be, but clearly they were ready to move on because he wasn't even the starting quarterback last year when he was healthy. Right? So I don't know if he's in that stratosphere with the Wilsons and the Rodgers of the world. And who was the other one that you mentioned, Michael?
Wilson, Rodgers, Stafford, forced.
Well, Stafford
out.
Again, it was a mutual thing where they were just as hot.
But he did, they wouldn't have traded him unless he said he wanted to go. He said, I want to get out of here.
And I think they saw, like, all right, I think we're ready to move on too. I think if they really wanted to keep him, but they saw a chance to get some first round picks, and they were kind of ready. I look at that kind of as a mutual kind of parting of the ways.
But again, they wouldn't have traded him unless he said, I want to go. He wants to go.
But I don't think it was a power move by him. It's just that, you know, I think it's time for me to go. And they're like, yeah, I think it's time for you to go.
But Don, listen.
Well, it wasn't a situation where I don't like the way you're drafted. Like, he didn't burn it down.
Well, he didn't
like
the
fact that
the team
was terrible. He just went to them and said, I think it's time.
Right.
You know, just like Ray Bourque went to the Bruins and said, I think it's time you move me. I'd like to go someplace where I got a chance to win. And they're like, you know what? Yeah, you deserve that. We're going to send you to Colorado. Right? It's not like I'm going to hold out or you go to the airwaves and rip the organization. Or come in like Harden did to training camp, overweight. Wasn't like that. It was just, let's talk. Maybe we can work something out here.
But I can't believe that you don't think that if Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers said I want out, that they wouldn't get out. They'd burn it to the ground, just like Watson is. And Watson
but
is
they
leaving
didn't.
The second highest salary. He's leaving $45 million. He's going to be paid $39 million this year, and he's saying he doesn't want to take the money. So at some point, who's going to blink? Is it going to be him leaving $39 million on the table, or is it going to be the Texans? But this can be done. The template's been set.
Oh, I listen, Michael, it can be done, I think, in any situation. Like, this is not the only sport where every sport's got somebody that's very, very important that really drives everything. But it just doesn't seem to happen in other sports the way it happens in the NBA. And there were two examples where it could have happened in the NFL, and it didn't. And I just think in more times than not, it won't happen, where I think in the NBA it probably will.
But why do you think in the NBA it'll happen? And why?
Because the NBA,
the NFL,
you have more of an influence. You can put together a super team. How do you put together a super team in the NFL?
No,
just too many
players. But if a player like Harden wants to talk his way out and still had 2 years left on his contract, then why can't it happen in the NFL? Is what I'm saying.
Well, but it hasn't. And so I just think that you can make your situation like
worse. But you're
ignoring
the Stafford situation. It happened already, and it's going to happen with Wentz. Wentz said, I want to trade it.
But it didn't go the way Harden did. It wasn't like Stafford came in, didn't rip the organization, overweight.
But I'm saying
we didn't even know. We didn't even know he wanted out. All of a sudden he got traded, and then we found out the information later on that he went to the organization and said, I think maybe
Harden wanted out?
No, Stafford.
Stafford. Well, Stafford said, I want out. It came out, and then they traded him. He said he wanted out.
But he didn't burn anything to the ground. Harden burned it to the ground.
I don't know
that
I understand what you guys are arguing anymore.
Don's saying that this can't happen. I'm saying it can happen.
Don, you don't believe this.
In a smaller sense, it's happened twice already.
And, Don, you don't believe this is a trend or is going to be a trend. You believe the Watson thing's an anomaly based on the circumstances.
No, Watson got cut. Let's face it.
What? No. Watson.
Watson is an outlier because something happened.
Got it.
Well, I don't think Watson wants out of Houston because they went 4-12. I think Watson wants out of Houston because he was lied to. But I don't think we have not seen evidence yet that, listen, you've got Aaron Rodgers, who to me is the best quarterback in football. Peter, you agree, right?
Yeah.
They didn't draft a wide receiver. They drafted a backup quarterback. All right? Last two seasons, they fizzled in the postseason. He speaks from the heart after the game, giving you some sort of an indication that maybe, you know, he's going to have to really sit on this. He's going to have to think about it. That could have been his I'm going to burn it to the ground moment, go where I want to go. And then less than 24 hours later, everything's good again.
That there could be a burn to the ground moment where it would happen.
Of course, you could. It could happen in any sport that you could have the burn. You think that basketball and football are the only sports that have like powerful people? But it just doesn't seem to happen in the other sports the way it happens in the NBA. Because I think in the NBA you can really dictate bettering your situation instantaneously. So Harden knows I can go to Philadelphia or Brooklyn and automatically not only make my situation better, but win a championship and put something together. It's probably not going to work out necessarily as easily in the other sports, especially in football. So cooler heads prevail and they don't burn it down. Or they quietly just go and say, maybe I need a change of scenery. I don't think there was any animosity between Stafford and Detroit whatsoever.
This portion of
because Detroit saw a chance to, hey, I can better my situation too. I'm able to get a couple of first round picks out of it.
Well, they're going to take a big step back. They lost a really good quarterback, and they got Jared Goff.
But it's a big, but they've been how big a step back you taking when you've been against the wall for the last decade?
True, and they're going to eat kneecaps. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2x London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, Westfield World Trade Center. Todd McShay is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We're excited about this because he's got some interesting things to say about the quarterbacks that are available in the draft today. It was Trevor Lawrence's pro day, and supposedly he looked really good. Well, big breaking news, right? He's going to be a great quarterback. We'll talk to Todd at 4 o'clock, so that's going to be fun. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So a website called the 33rd Team has listed the top 10 potential NFL cap hits. Jimmy Garoppolo, team would save $23.6 million with only $2.8 million in dead money. John Brown, wide receiver for the Bills, $7.93 million team savings, $1.6 million dead money. Jamison Crowder of the Jets, team savings $10.38 million, dead money $1 million, so that's going to happen. Brandon Cooks of the Texans, $12 million team savings, no dead money. David Njoku of the Browns, $6.3 million savings, no dead money. David DeCastro, a guard for the Steelers, $8.75 million, dead money $5.5 million. J.J. Watt, the team saves $17.5 million. Henry Anderson of the Jets, defensive tackle, team saves $8.2 million, dead money $1.3 million. Carlos Dunlap, an edge rusher for the Seahawks, $14 million team saving, no dead money. And finally, Stephon Gilmore, cornerback for the Patriots, $7.49 million, but dead money of $8.9. Boy, I'd grab Stephon Gilmore.
Sure.
30 years old.
Yeah, defensive player of the year, right? Just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some phone calls, see what you think, and we'll start a rare Danny in Long Island start. Danny.
Batting first. That means they're going to take the first pitch. Mike, I'm old school.
How you doing?
We should start by wishing a happy birthday to one of Don's favorite loves of his life. The one and the only, the immortal screen goddess who bared her soul and several other body parts. The one and the only, Diane Franklin. Don's favorite.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Back from Joey's time. Way back.
Way
you
gotta
be
back,
an old
yeah.
fan to know Diane Franklin. But listen, you see these people getting cut, and it's because the salary cap's going down, which is it's basically all COVID-related. And I hate to tell somebody, some of these players will just have to re-sign for less money because, you know, welcome to the real world. That's what a lot of people, because of this economy now, have to do. It's just the cap's going down because the stadiums are empty. I mean, you can't expect the teams to have to pay the same level of salaries. I mean, it just David DeCastro's not going anywhere. He'll sign for less money. And I'm not going to cry for anyone who goes from $8 million to $7 million or $5 million because of the COVID. I mean, obviously, that's the first real bite that these players are going to have to accept. Now, I wouldn't sign J.J. Watt. I mean, he is a declining star. Even when he was the best defensive player in football, his team won a total of 4 playoff games in his whole career. Never got to an AFC championship. He needs to go to a team which has everything ready to go and just drops him in. And I'm watching some websites. There's only 10 teams that even would even conceivably have the cap space and that defense that he plays to take him. It's not like a left fielder that just drops in on or a starting pitcher. You have to go to a very precise team that fits your body type and your skills. And when you combine that with his age, his injuries, he's been injured an awful lot. That I'd stay away from that as far as I could.
Danny, I looked it up. The last 5 years, he's averaged missing 6 games a season.
Well, he's not going to be able to command $17 million a year at this point.
No, he's going to have to take a haircut. He's going to have to take a severe haircut. And Danny's right. All these guys are. You know, the cap, that's a dramatic drop down. And when you start to get to it, you know, he's a guy that's had injuries. He's going to be 32 in March. All right? So now you're talking about this is usually when you start to decline as a player. And if I can save myself a lot of money, what happened today was probably going to happen no matter what was going on with Watson.
No, I agree. I think this is two completely different situations.
Right.
It just looks bad for the Texans. You lose an iconic player, and another iconic player wants out. Greg in Manalapan. What's up, Greg?
Hey, long time no talk, gentlemen. Hope you've
What's
all
up?
Been well.
How you doing?
There he is.
As a long-suffering Jet fan, I've got 2 words. Zach Wilson. The idea of keeping Sam, that time's past, guys. You know, I'm looking at the numbers. He ranked 9th in interceptions, last in TDs, 28th in yards. He's got no pocket presence anymore. He was a turnover machine in college, 22 interceptions in 2 years. Zach Wilson, if you watch this kid play, he's got every throw in the book. Lasers, soft touchdown down the sidelines. He can throw sidearm and get it in. Plus, not only is he mobile, reads the defense so well. His first option, his second option, his third option. Sam locks on to the same guy, and then what do we get? If we need 7 yards, we get a dump off for 5. You know, people are talking about, 3 games where he didn't have a turnover. I mean, we're talking mediocrity, and we're lauding it, for God's sakes. And the Seattle game, it was like he threw the ball right into Jamal Adams' hand.
So do you put any of this on the terrible coaching that he's had, or you put it all on him?
It's a combination, in fairness, yes. But Zach Wilson, and when you think of the salary implications of keeping Sam, I'd rather have a talent that's excelled in college, not been good for really amounts to 1 Rose Bowl game, have that rookie under contract and keep all my draft capital. And if we get a first or a second round pick for Sam, even better.
Well, I mean, first of all, he went to 1 Rose Bowl. He played essentially 2 years at USC. So he's still very, very young, too. I don't think that Sam is going to be here moving forward, but I'm certainly not going to pile on the way Greg just did.
No, they're all fair points. you know, just maybe to just start over fresh. But again, it is starting over, and you just don't know. I mean, Sam was still good enough to be the third overall pick in the draft, right? Going into that draft, he looked like he was going to be number one. And then Baker Mayfield came out of nowhere and became the first overall pick in the draft. He might be right about everything that he's saying about Sam, but there's still the unknown. There's still an unknown about Lawrence. So you bring him in. If you don't make the right decisions on the offensive line and weapons, it could look a lot like it's been the last 3 years for Sam. No offensive line, no weapons, no offensive presence, no coaching. I think the coaching will be better, but there's still the unknown. All these kids come out of college, Michael. They can't miss. Most of them miss.
But that's what frustrates me about that call from Greg. He's waxing poetic about all the things Wilson's going to do. I remember those conversations about Sam.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm willing to give people Lawrence, okay? Because everyone seems to feel, well, Lawrence is that guy who's just on a different level, a once-in-a-generation kind of guy. Don't give me the whole spiel about how some guy you watch play five times in college is going to come in and master the NFL in a way Sam hasn't been able to, when Sam has been on a terrible, talentless, poorly coached football team.
Now, I do. I read something that could be construed as a negative about Zach Wilson. BYU had 8 captains, 4 offense, 4 defense, and the quarterback was not one of them. So you start. I mean, you try to uncover everything when you're evaluating a player.
Right.
Why was he not a captain?
And you got to ask these questions. You're taking him with the second overall pick in the draft, right?
Right.
You got to get this right. So they're going to turn over every rock to find out what's underneath it.
Let's take a brief time out. We've got some what could be construed as bad news for the Baseball Hall of Fame, especially New Yorkers. We'll tell you what that is in just a moment. Continue to take your phone calls. And we have a Todd McShay coming up at 4 o'clock. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Steve Brzezinski. You guys know him.
Yeah, he's the annoying guy on Twitter.
No, he's not annoying at all.
Oh.
I enjoy him.
Well, he takes shots at me all the time.
Well, you know, salient points.
We didn't even know what they were.
Right.
If they're shots at Peter, they're salient. He wants us to wish his grandma, Anita, from where were you born, Don?
Hawthorne.
New Jersey. So happy birthday, right, Anita. It's her birthday.
Hey, now.
Well, yesterday
cool.
Was,
just
we
the day
late.
Before mine.
What are you doing for your birthday, Don?
I'm going to swing by my brother's.
Okay.
A little something.
Yeah? Nice.
Right. Would you say that you and your brother now are sort of in the are bubble mates to some degree?
I mean, I've seen quite a bit of him during the pandemic, but I wouldn't say we're bubbling together. We're an hour and 20 minutes apart.
Yeah, but he's one of the few people you've seen.
Oh yeah, and Declan. Declan was over last night. He can basically name all the presidents. You throw out a number, he gives you the president.
Come on,
he's only 5 and a half.
Come on, how many do you test him on?
Don
like six or seven.
Presidents.
I mean, I'd have to look to see if he was right.
45. He knows those. Those 46,
I know 16's
no.
Lincoln.
There you go.
And I would give the first name, and he would give the last.
Really?
Now, that might seem easy to you or me, but to a 5 and a half year old.
What number can you get to starting at 1?
I can give you the, what was it, Washington, Adams,
sure.
Jefferson.
Oh, yeah. Keep
who's
going.
After Jefferson?
Okay, you know who's for.
James Madison.
There you go. Keep going.
All right. Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's where I'm starting to get stuck. That's
okay.
Not bad, right?
Troy Warner.
John Quincy Adams.
Of BYU tweeted this out today. As one of 8 captains, I can without hesitation say that Zach is one of them. I've seen what he's done on and off the field for the team. This isn't a red flag. Ask anyone part of the organization, and they'll tell you the way he leads by example and got the best out of his peers. Well, okay, that's your teammate sticking up for him, but why wasn't he a captain?
Yeah, I don't get it. He was a captain, but he wasn't.
Right. July 25th is the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies.
Yes.
So they were expecting one of the biggest crowds ever because Derek Jeter is part of the induction class. Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and the late Marvin Miller. And the Hall of Fame said that they will have the induction ceremonies. It will be indoors, and it will be for television only, so no fans will be there.
Why make that announcement now?
I guess they just look at it and what doctors are saying, and that we are not going to have like 100,000 people on a grassy knoll in Cooperstown.
I think it's lazy. I think it's lazy.
Maybe they're
because...
also saving people from like booking hotels and stuff.
Well, but here's my issue. Okay, I understand you can't have the grandiose one that you normally would because we're still going to be in a pandemic, but we're still talking about 6 months from now, right? So was it 5 months from now? And we were already going to let, 2,000 people into Madison Square Garden starting on the 23rd. There's a very good possibility by the time we get to July, there might be Major League Baseball stadiums that are playing to at least 25, if not 50% capacity. So why can't you, have something similar where you have to get tested and you can at least have a few people there? Why does it have to be just 5 months before the event completely shut down saying we're not going to have anybody? Can you make some sort of an effort that a few people can at least go?
I guess that people just have to make plans. So it's so weird because if you look at Derek Jeter's life, right, very little rain has fallen in his life. Obviously, his sister went through cancer and she got through it fine. But there's been very little negative that's ever happened in his life. And this is like one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to him where it hasn't all gone right. Last year, they canceled it. This year, there's not going to be these big crowds that would adore him. It's kind of weird. Because
but
things
possible,
usually work out for Derek.
But does he care?
I don't know.
Chance the guy that doesn't want to go to Old Timers Day anymore.
He cares. Do you remember how uncomfortable he was at his day at the stadium? Like, he doesn't relish it.
This could actually be where
perfect.
How it always seems to work out for Derek.
Don, that's what it is. This is it's working out for him perfect, Michael.
So Paul Andrew Esden Jr., who is a host of the Jet Zone, said that he spoke with BYU's offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, Coach Roderick, and he said the reports that suggest that Zach Wilson wasn't a team captain is not true. And then another person sent out a picture of Zach Wilson with a C on his jersey.
Is it possible?
Rich Cimini reported today he was not one of the eight captains, so it's weird. So people are saying, well, he's one of the captains, but he's not listed as one of the eight captains.
Could it have alternated through the season and maybe the last few games he wasn't? I don't know, but I saw the picture, but that could be doctored. I don't know. How big a deal it is, but it's interesting how there's controversy around this.
All right, we'll talk with Todd McShay. He's going to know. He's going to be able to give us 10 quality minutes on what's happening with these quarterbacks coming out of the draft. So sit tight. This should be great. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I need you both to be very honest with me, as you always are, and I think that always. I'm going to set myself up to be ripped.
Okay.
Interesting. But I sent out a picture of my wife and I on our wedding day, because it's our 10th anniversary today.
Okay.
And I get this all the time, but I want to ask you, I want you to be honest, okay? I don't want you to be hurtful or try to get a laugh. I want you to be honest. So one of the guys tweeted out, "That's your wife? How did you pull that off?" Now, I know that Jody is a beautiful woman, but am I really that hideous that people can't see that I could actually marry her?
No. It's just a compliment. That's what people do.
Yeah, but no. It's more than that. It's not, oh, you outkicked your coverage, which is what people say, but people are genuinely shocked that Jody is so beautiful, and I guess I'm just really a train wreck.
Well, you're – people mean it as a compliment.
Yes.
You're odd for not taking it that way.
Yes.
But I also believe that you being a hideous-looking gargoyle, as you stated before, is overstated. I don't think you're nearly as ugly as people say you are.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Peter. I think you're a fine-looking guy.
I look like a very good-looking gargoyle. Yeah,
but the point is that it's a compliment that people pay all the time. Whenever there's a situation, it's always like, how did you do that? Yeah, I kicked your coverage. Oh, my God, you're the luckiest man in the world. It's a compliment to your wife or significant other, right, that kind of comes at your expense. Then you throw it on social media, the cesspool, Michael. What do you expect? So stop.
No, but I mean, people are nice for the most part, but I always get that, and it just makes me think, wow, really? I must really not be much at all.
But wouldn't you feel worse?
It's almost like I married out of my species, and I mean, it's unfair.
Well, how would you feel if you posted pictures and they said, oof, Michael, could have done better?
That would be hurtful, too. I'd rather they insult me than my wife.
What's the alternative, Peter? There is somebody
couple.
For everyone.
Oh, beautiful couple.
I ended up just stuck here on the picture that Michael posted months ago on his Twitter. To me, it's the most underrated photo of all time.
Which one?
It's baby Charlie crying his eyes out, getting as he's about to go to Santa, and Callie looking like she's playing, like she's in a movie, and her character just got shot. I mean,
right.
She's
face down on the floor.
But I mean, but Don, the way her legs are off to the side, it's like she just dropped. It's such a classic. It's like the worst Christmas moment of all time.
Right.
It's gorgeous.
It's a great Christmas card. We started off today with the situation in Houston. Boy, and if you take a look at all the great athletes that Houston has lost. You start with Gerrit Cole, left as a free agent. George Springer left as a free agent. Harden, Westbrook. Now J.J. Watt essentially released. And Deshaun Watson, the biggest of all, wants to go. And I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but it's amazing. Because Houston's a really cool city. Really nice place. But all these people are gone. And, you know, Jet fans are still wondering, is there a chance if Deshaun Watson would agree to go to the Jets? Here is our very own Jeremy Fowler. He was on Get Up this morning, and he gave us an update on who Wilson would be interested in going to.
I checked in with a source who said Deshaun Watson has a list of teams that he's intrigued by. You know, he's not pigeonholing anything, but he's got a list. I didn't get all the teams, but I was told the Denver Broncos, San Francisco 49ers are two of them. I also asked the source about the Jets and the Dolphins because they have the most draft capital this year and the next few years. I was told the Jets, probably not, maybe more so the Dolphins as far as viability. But Watson knows, look, he has to wait this out. He's got the no trade clause in his contract, but it's all about the Texans continuing to tell teams, and they believe them, that they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. I've talked to several execs who say they think GM Nick Caserio is dug in here.
All right, so we've kind of tap-danced around this for the last couple of weeks, but the second highest paid NFL player scheduled for this year is Deshaun Watson. Patrick Mahomes is going to earn $45 million this upcoming season, and Deshaun Watson's going to earn $39 million. 39. Only Mahomes will earn more. Can you actually see him being so upset about playing for the Texans that he's going to leave that money on the table? Now, it's honorable that he doesn't come into camp, collect his money, and say, I'm hurt. That he's just not going to show up. And if that's the case, if you're willing to lose $39 million, who's going to blink? Are the Texans going to blink? Or is he going to blink? Because if the Texans say right out front, we are not trading you ever, is the guy going to be content with ending his career? Think about it. Think about the high stakes here. We talk about a game of chicken. This is one of the highest stakes games of chicken any time because the Texans franchise, the viability is riding on what they do with this guy. And they could actually make a great deal and get a serviceable quarterback back in that deal. If they trade with the Dolphins, they'll get Tua, and they'll get the number 3 pick and probably other picks. If they trade with the Jets, they'll get the number 2 pick and Sam Darnold, if they want Sam Darnold, or they'll pick Zach Wilson or one of the players that are available. There's a lot of things they could do, but if they decide to play hardball, which I am an advocate for because it will stop this nonsense right where it stays, where you're not getting traded when you demand it, if they do that, they will have no quarterback. They will have no high draft pick because they traded the number three pick to Miami for Laremy Tunsil. Who is going to be pressured enough to blink first? Mm. Because remember, everybody, Deshaun Watson grew up in abject poverty where I think it was Warwick Dunn. Remember Warwick Dunn?
Of course, from the Falcons.
He built houses for homeless people, and one of those families was Deshaun Watson's.
Wow.
This guy came from nothing, and I know he's made a lot of money in his first however many years, but $39 million is $39 million. $39 million is $39 million to Jeff Bezos. So who's blinking first, guys? Who's blinking first?
I think he would. I don't think you can sit out a whole year and miss out on that money. And if Houston's willing to do that for a year, then are you going to take the chance that they're not going to be willing to do it for an additional year after that?
It's a great point. If they do it for a year, they could do it for all four.
Right. Yeah. So if he decides that, like, listen, I've got enough money in the bank. I want to try to make a point. I'm going to sit out. Okay. And Houston's like, all right, listen, we're going to be awful, obviously. We got a lot of cap space, and we're going to ride it out. And let's say they end up being the worst team in football, and they draft a quarterback next year. And now they're willing to go a second year. He can't do that, Peter. Maybe 1 year he could. He's young enough. He might be able to bounce back more so than the running backs like Gordon and Bell were. But if they could do it 1 year and they end up doing it too, I mean, how far are you willing to take this? So I think he ends up being the one that caves and plays.
Now, the thing that he has in his favor, he's not said anything publicly. This is stuff that's been reported.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when there's this much smoke, there's fire. Obviously, he wants out of there. But he's never said, I'm going to sit out the whole year. That's been reported by people. Also, his destination, this has a lot of the feel, Don. You'll remember this. We were doing the show together then when Peyton Manning was a free agent. Well, he's going to go to the Dolphins because he has a home in Miami. Such trash that was thrown out there, you know, hot takes or whatever. We have heard separate. He doesn't like Denver. Now he likes Denver. The guy John McClain in Houston. If he gets traded anywhere, it's going to be the Jets. Jeremy Fowler says it's not going to be the Jets. Adam Schefter said to Greeny, "I wouldn't get my hopes up if it's the Jets." Now some people have said earlier it's going to be the Dolphins. You know, he wants to play for the Dolphins. No state. If you keep reporting enough nonsense,
right,
something's going to become true. See, I don't think anybody knows.
No, and here's the thing: it could obviously change because. Listen, I don't think he'd be willing to sit out an entire year, all right? And if I'm right, then that means that you're going to get to some support sort of point where maybe they go, listen, you're going to have to broaden your horizons here, man. We're going to have to send you someplace that maybe you don't necessarily want to go. I know you weren't high on the Jets, but that seems to be the only destination we could trade you to. Is he going to say no Jets, and then sit out the year? So, like, right now, we are a long way from him having to make that decision. So he can play the game or send out reports that this is the order he wants it to be. Doesn't that order have to change, A, based on how close it is to him having to make a decision to sit out, and B, what kind of offers are Houston getting? If he wants to go to Denver, but they can't make a deal with Denver, are you willing to hold out for them to send you to Denver or to Chicago or to San Francisco? Or are you going to have to maybe, you know, rejigger your list a little bit so that you can not have to be forced to make that decision to sit out? So may not be the Jets now, but when we get to August, maybe that's the only choice he might have.
It's to me, it's fascinating, and it's got so many ramifications. It's fascinating
because so many teams are involved.
So many teams, and he's so great. I mean, how many times has somebody this great become available?
Yeah,
but is he available? Because the Texans don't want to trade him. If I'm Nick Caserio and I just got that job, remember, Nick Caserio comes from New England, where they don't bow down to players' wishes.
Right.
So he's learned at the feet of Bill Belichick. You think he's going to give in to Deshaun Watson, the best player he has?
Well, he'll
the
probably
only
do
reason
what he's
the
told.
Team's a team.
Remember when Idzik took the job with the Jets? He was under orders. You got to trade Revis.
Right.
Right. So. He's going to come here, and he's going to probably get orders from ownership on what to do and what not to do. They may say to him, listen, we're not trading him. And he might want to say, no, I think we should. No, you're not going to do it. I mean, he's going to have a boss. We'll see what the ownership wants to do. But it's easy it's easy for both sides to be all strong and high and mighty on February 12th.
That's right. Once they start reporting.
But once we start reporting and once a decision has to be made, you know, then the reality starts to sink in. So they can have their fun and games for the next few months. But once we start getting to the draft, that's when things are good. That's when the noose is going to start to tighten a little bit for both of these organizations on when to make that decision, because nobody has to make a decision right now.
And there's so many decisions that spin off of this decision. So let's say that the Jets are not in play, even if the Texans trade him and he doesn't want to go to the Jets. So now they have a decision to make. Who do they take with the number two pick? Is it Zach Wilson of BYU? Todd McShay says he's the second-ranked quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence. Or do they stay with Sam Darnold and then trade the two pick to Carolina, who's eighth, and get the eighth pick and more draft capital as well? Tough decision for Joe Douglas. So let's go to the phones and see what you're thinking. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew. Andrew.
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Not too bad. Love the show. I just wanted to say, with Zach Wilson not being a captain, BYU is like one of those schools that usually only makes like their seniors captains. And I don't know. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, but Andrew, I beg to differ, because three of their four offensive captains this past season were juniors. So
yeah,
that's not true.
And that would be the answer, right? All the players coming to support would have said that.
Right. So I mean, three of the four were juniors, so not true.
I think it's being – people are making too much of it, but at the same time, you can't say that it's not slightly weird that there are eight captains and he's not one of them.
Isn't it weird, though, Peter, though, that he's not a captain elected by the players, but then later in the season he becomes one, and then he's not a captain at the beginning of the year, and then the offensive coordinator in the interview said that's not true, when it is, in fact, true he wasn't a captain.
Well, and then all the players, all his teammates jumped out and defended him and were like, this is ridiculous. But
why didn't they vote for him?
Like I said, this is not something that makes me question if I'm interested in the kid. But it is just strange.
Well, I mean, if I'm a general manager, I might want to investigate the true answer to what's going on. I'm not saying it's going to be that big of a difference maker, but it begs a question, doesn't it? Why is this an issue? Is there leadership? But did he not want to be a leader? Was he not liked in that room? It may not be enough to change my mind, but I want to know that stuff. If I'm relying so much on combines and Wonderlic tests, I guess this becomes important, right?
It is fun. Have you guys seen the picture I'm talking about that Yes shows?
Yeah.
He looks like a fun guy. Maybe he's too much. Again, that's unfair. I have no idea what he is in real life, but he looks like a guy who has a blast.
Well, what does that mean?
Nothing. But, I mean, you want your quarterbacks to be somewhat serious, too. A lot of quarterbacks that... like Johnny Manziel liked to have a lot of fun. You know, Johnny Manziel's out of the league. And again, that's so unfair. I'm just saying, he looks like the happiest guy in the world.
Well, maybe he's just happy to play football. Maybe he's just one of those guys that just anytime he's got the uniform on, he's ecstatic to play. I want guys like that on my team.
Absolutely. Tim and Edison. Timbo, what's up?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for the call.
Thanks for making it.
Mike, I just think that... No, sorry, Mike, I don't think you guys have really given my man Sam Darnold a fair shake here. I mean, granted, he hasn't looked great in his 3 years here, but how many other teams, like the Jets, were ranked dead last in Pro Football Focus for wide receiver core as well as O-linemen? And then on top of that, having Adam Gase, who once Tannehill leaves, he becomes almost a Pro Bowler. I just feel that there's not enough there to necessarily nail the coffin in on this guy.
But the fact that in year four, Tim, right, this is year four coming up, we still don't know what he is. He had 9 TDs last year. 9. He's quarterback in the NFL. 9 TDs. That's not good. I don't care if you're throwing to Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. That's 9 TDs.
The biggest thing, forget about where he ranked and how Todd McShay felt about him when he was coming out of USC. In Todd McShay's opinion, and take it for what it's worth, there was not a quarterback in the league that could have done better. That's how bad it was there.
Now, so we love McShay, but McShay's, I mean, obviously he had such high grades on him coming out. He don't want to say he was wrong. So rather than say he was wrong, he's saying that it was the people surrounding him.
But he's hitching his wagon to something that eventually we're going to find the answer out.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be able to get up from that. We're not going to forget about it. I mean, whatever ends up happening, whether he stays with the Jets or goes someplace else, we're going to keep an eye. And fast forward 5-6 years from now, you know, and if he ends up being Mark Sanchez, then you know what? Then Todd was wrong. He can't get up from that.
If you had to bet your life in the next 10 years, is Sam Darnold considered one of the top 10 quarterbacks in football?
If I had to bet my life?
Yeah, your life.
That's a tough thing to bet. I'm not betting my life on it. No, because no, the better question is, what would I bet my life on? Who would be a better quarterback 10 years from now, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold? Because I would probably lean towards Sam because at least I've seen something on the NFL level.
Right.
But, you know, just because I support Sam doesn't mean that I'm willing to bet my life on it.
And also, the bet totally hinges on where these players end up. Like, is it really fair to bet that Sam would do better than Zach Wilson if Wilson ends up on a more functional team?
I'm not comparing Wilson. I'm just saying what I've seen of Sam. So last season, he had 12 games, 59% completion. That's not what this league's about. 11 interceptions and 9 TDs. He had a bad year.
Yeah, no, listen, you know, even Todd said it's 80%. So, you know, 20%, according to Todd, who's the biggest fan, you know, some of it falls on his feet. But you were talking about bad football teams. Not every team that's bad in the NFL is bad because of their coaching. This team was bad because of their coaching.
Right.
And because of a lack of weapons, that's going to affect how we're going to look at the quarterback. And even places like Cincinnati, in Los Angeles with the Chargers, those quarterbacks look better. They've got weapons. The Jets had nothing.
Guys, I wanted to mention this earlier. I think it's important, and it got away from me. But, Don, I think you'll agree this is very important. Right. We were talking about presidents of the United States earlier, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a worst run in presidential history when it comes to no names than 10 through 15? I mean, listen to this, Don. Listen to this list of no names. People you wouldn't recognize with a gun to your head. John Tyler, James K. Polk, Zach Taylor, Millard Fillmore, and Franklin Pierce. What an awful group of jabroni presidents that was.
Were they any stadiums named after them? Any schools named after them?
Millard Fillmore's got some schools named after
Millard Fillmore's got some, but Franklin Pierce, let's be honest, is a nobody. You wouldn't even believe he was president.
It's hurtful that you're saying this stuff.
I mean, at least before that, you have William Henry Harrison, who's famous for being president for 1 month and then dying. But after that, I mean, all the way through James Buchanan at 15, it's a disgrace.
I don't want to do this. So any of those five gentlemen, if you want to call in and defend yourself, please feel free. Our lines are open for you. All right, we'll come back.
That's an opportunity.
We'll talk with you. A lot of people want to talk about this this Jet situation. It's fascinating. And the Deshaun Watson thing just adds a whole other layer to it on. Yes, the 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.